two commands come to my mind this morning. One command because of the saint that we celebrate, Saint Isidore, and one command from our gospel reading, and then a desired result for each one of those commands. So first, the command from that comes to my mind because of the saint we celebrate, Saint Isidore. Saint Isidore was a man who lived in the 11th century. He lived in Spain, and he was a farmer. So because of that, I was texting my dad this morning, and just as my dad usually does, he keeps me updated how much rain he gets, and because right now it's planting season, and so as he's in the fields, he's telling me probably he's going to be out of the fields because we receive so much rain down south that we'll probably be out of the for another week from the fields, and it's never a good thing. And as I was thinking about the land being cultivated and planted right now, I just thought of, and then thinking of St. Isidore, I came to mind was the command in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, where the Lord, or God, put Adam in the garden and commanded him to till it and to keep it. He commanded Adam to work. So we can see from the very beginning how work was part of God's original plan. It was before the fall. And I think there's really two approaches that one tends to, or one can look at work. And one is the secular way to look at work, and that is that work is just a necessary evil, that it's drudgery, that work is, you know, I do work just so that I can survive. You know, and I think this is oftentimes a temptation, because from an early age, we can associate work with punishment. Maybe we hit our sister, and what do we hear? Mark, go outside right now and rake the leaves, you know, as punishment for just hitting my sister. And so we can, because if this is the case, we see work as punishment, we see it as drudgery, we avoid it at all costs. Or we can view work, the other approach is to view work in the eyes of Scripture, in the eyes of the rich teaching that the church has on work. And that is, we approach it as that work is God's gift to us. And work is actually there to bring fulfillment and life to somebody. It's there to, as I think it was John Paul II in one of his encyclicals says, work, in work, man becomes more human in his work. John Paul II once said that man was made for work as birds were made to fly. And so here's from the beginning that work is not deemed as punishment, but it was actually put in place, part of God's original plan prior to the fall, part of God's original plan. And what's the desired result? As work makes us more human, is also for us to be sanctified. We talk about the dignity of work. Well, that has twofold. One is the dignity of work is the fact that all laborers are to be paid a just wage, the church talks about, but also in the sense that it brings dignity to man and woman through, or in and through their work. It's meant to aid us in our path to become saints. Saint Isidore, he was a farmer. He tilled the ground. He didn't live this extraordinary life, but a farmer. I was asking Ricky before Mass, like, what do you know about St. Isidore? He goes, absolutely nothing. And then I didn't have time to ask him, but I was going to ask him, what do you know about St. Isidore's wife, Maria Tereba? And I'm sure you would say, absolutely nothing. I knew, before just a quick look this morning on who Maria Tereba was, St. Isidore's wife, she's also a saint. And what I could find on her was simply the fact that she always kept a pot of stew at the fireplace for her husband to come home. And she would feed her husband. And the workers that he would often bring back home with him who didn't have food to come back to. So St. Maria Theresa, St. Isidore, the littlest things. So what does this look like for us, even right now? Many of us may be out of work. The question, the desire to resolve for work is to see, what is my approach to work? And if we're out of work right now, how can I, when I go back to work, to see it as no matter how mundane the work is, even a factory worker on an assembly line, what does St. Teresa of Lisieux say? It's the little way that she would clean the floor in the convent, and she would offer it up and see that she was doing this to glorify God in her work of scrubbing the floor, cleaning the toilets for her sisters. How do I approach work? What's my mindset to work? What's my mindset as a mom at home, changing diapers, cleaning the dishes, emptying the dishwasher, doing laundry? Do I have St. Therese's approach towards the little way of glorifying God in my work? That's what God's desire for us is in his command for us to work. And secondly, the command on my mind is just the command we hear in the gospel. This I command you, love one another. We're in the final discourse still in John chapter 14, 15. Today we're in 15, verses 12 to 17. And anytime we see those two words together, command and love, it's a head scratcher. How can one command somebody to love? Pope Benedict the 16th took on this question in his encyclical Deus Caritas Est, which is just Latin for God is love. How can love be commanded? And the way he wrote that is to say, when love and command are used here by Jesus in the same sentence, it goes forth to show that love is not a feeling, or at least it can't be reduced to a feeling. So God does not demand of us a feeling of which that we ourselves are not capable of producing within. So we can't be ordered to like somebody. It can't happen. But we can choose to love our enemies because it's a movement of the will. So the desired result, I think the Lord wants us to be confronted with this morning, with his command to love, is to not look like the world here. The world is becoming more and more polemic, polar opposites, whether that with regards to the upcoming presidential election and the race going on, whether that's with regards to policies that are we think should be made with coronavirus, whether one's on the left or right, whether that's with regards to different laws and policies, even within the church, different ideas with regards to theology. People are at each other's throat, it seems, today, more than, probably because of social media, more than in the past. Do we as Christians act differently? Not that we're not to have disagreements with regards to policies and politicians and laws. No, of course not. We're still to have disagreements. But there's a way in which we are to disagree with one another. That is to not hate them. Do I talk the same way as the world when I disagree with somebody? Or do I talk differently? Does my heart look differently for the person that I really struggle with and have disagreements with? And so maybe just let us reflect on that question. For those in our lives that we struggle with, what is my will towards them? If I struggle with a certain politician, if I struggle with the president, if I struggle with somebody in Congress, if I struggle with a neighbor, if I struggle with a coworker, and I struggle to love them, what is my will for them? Do I desire good for them. Let us look differently than the world with those that we disagree with and those that we struggle with.